Welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah.
Today we are going straight into a sound that has just completely taken over public speaking and media.
Mm-hmm.
That low, creaky, sometimes kind of rough sound known as vocal fry. You hear it everywhere.
You really do, in interviews, pitch meetings.
And maybe you might even hear it in your own voice.
And that's really the focus for you, our listener, today. It's about precision. If you're looking to enhance how you communicate, especially professionally, you have to understand this.
Right.
Our source material today really frames this around clarity and confidence, because vocal fry, it isn't just a noise, it's a speaking pattern, and it directly influences how people perceive your authority.
That's the heart of it, isn't it? It's so easy to just dismiss it as, you know, a bad habit.
Yeah.
But our mission here is to go way beyond that. We want to unpack the physics behind it, figure out when it's just a style choice, and most importantly, pinpoint when it's actively undermining your goals.
We want you to leave this deep dive with real, actionable control over your voice, making sure your delivery is every bit as strong as your message.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the fundamentals. What is vocal fry, really? What's the science behind that specific sound?
Well, at its core, vocal fry is simply the absolute lowest register your voice can hit.
The very bottom.
The very bottom. It has a medical term, a laryngealization, but honestly, we all just know it as the creaky voice.
And what is actually happening in your throat to make that crackling texture?
It's basically a failure of the mechanism. Think about it this way. When you speak normally, your vocal cords, your vocal folds, technically, are stretched. They vibrate really fast and smoothly.
So air passes through cleanly.
Exactly. Mm. But when you drop into vocal fry, those folds relax, they get shorter, and they start to vibrate really slowly and irregularly.
Ah, so they're not smooth anymore.
Right. They're actually slapping together unevenly. And that lack of a smooth, rhythmic movement is what creates that signature, rough, crackling tone.
The source had this genius, simple test for it that I found so helpful.
Yeah, the test.
Yeah. If you just say the sound, very, very softly, at the absolute end of a slow breath, that little crackle you get, that's pure fry.
And you can feel it, right? You're forcing the folds to vibrate without any real airflow to support them.
And the science, it actually backs that up. I saw that a study from Kansas State University pinpointed the exact frequency.
They did. They showed that for most speakers, vocal fry lives in this really low range, usually somewhere between 75 and 200 hertz.
That's really low.
It is. And once your pitch drops below that 200 hertz mark, the folds just lose their tension.
Right.
And that's when the irregular vibration kicks in.
That detail is so important because it tells us exactly where to listen for the problem.
And if you listen closely to speakers, or, you know, even to yourself, you'll notice it almost always shows up at specific times.
But at the end of a sentence.
Almost always at the end of a sentence or a phrase. It happens right when a speaker is running out of breath or when their overall energy is just low. The voice literally, well, it collapses into that low frequency.
So, if the science tells us what's happening mechanically, let's talk about the bigger question, the one our listener really cares about.
Right.
If running out of air is the cause, what's the professional cost of that? Why does this pattern matter so much in, say, a competitive environment?
That brings us right to the four main triggers for vocal fry, and they're all symptoms of a lack of support.
Yeah.
First, like we said, speaking with very low airflow. Second, speaking when you're just plain tired, your body can't maintain the tension. Third is trying to lower your pitch too much, maybe to sound more authoritative.
Trying too hard.
Right. And fourth is just a general relaxation of the throat and jaw, which means you lose that muscular support you need to project clearly.
It sounds like most of those are related to being exhausted or, like you said, trying too hard to sound deep, which just leads to a weak voice.
Exactly. And look, using fry once in a while isn't going to sink your career. But when it's a consistent pattern, it really starts to affect how listeners perceive you. And for a leader, that's crucial.
Let's dig into that perception piece. Because if I'm giving a fantastic presentation, but my voice is creaking at the end of every single sentence, what is the audience subconsciously taking away from that?
The impact is subtle, but it's really significant. I mean, we tend to associate a clear, steady voice with control, with presence, with stability.
Right, with confidence.
Yes. So when a voice keeps dipping into that irregular low frequency, listeners, often without even realizing it, they start to fill in the blanks with negative ideas.
And there's actual data on this, isn't there?
There is. A Duke University study is pretty compelling here. They found that listeners rated speakers who used a lot of vocal fry as being both less confident and less clear.
Less confident and less clear.
Yeah. But it goes deeper. When a voice sounds unsupported or weak, it can be psychologically linked to sounding uncertain or like you're not putting in the effort, maybe even that you lack gravitas.
So in a pitch meeting, that's a huge barrier.
A tremendous barrier.
But hold on a second. We hear vocal fry on almost every popular platform now, from TikTok creators to major politicians. Isn't there a risk that if you get rid of it completely, you might sound too formal or, I don't know, robotic?
That's a really important nuance. And you're right, when it's used intentionally and just for a moment, maybe to create a sense of intimacy, like a podcaster sharing a secret, it can be effective.
Ah, so it becomes a tool.
It can be. The problem is when it becomes the default way you speak, especially in high-stakes professional situations.
Okay, so let's focus on those high-stakes consequences. If vocal fry is my default, what's the immediate price I pay for sounding unsure, even if my content is rock solid?
The consequences are very tangible. First, your message just loses its impact. The sound itself is distracting, and it forces your audience to work harder to listen.
Okay, that makes sense.
Second, your voice sounds strained, which can suggest you're anxious or putting in too much effort. Third, and this might be the most damaging, your audience can literally struggle to hear your key points, especially when your voice trails off.
And the final one?
The final, and I think biggest issue, is the tone. That persistent creakiness projects a tone of uncertainty. Even if the information you're giving is completely authoritative, you end up eroding trust just because of an auditory habit.
Wow, that's a painful feedback loop. You sound unsure, so people trust your expertise less, no matter how much you prepared.
Precisely. In this context, clarity equals authority. A stable, clear voice just anchors attention and projects genuine control.
All right, so we've made the case for why it matters. Now, before fixing it, you have to know if you're even doing it. Let's move into self-diagnosis. What are the simple self-check steps from the source?
Okay, step one is the most objective one. You have to record yourself. Just read about 60 seconds of a professional text or an email out loud. You need that objective feedback.
And when you listen back, you're not looking for perfection. You're just listening for those low, creaky sounds, especially right before you breathe or at the end of a thought.
Exactly. Step two gets into the mechanism. Watch your breath support. If you notice that you're constantly running out of air before you finish a sentence,
the fry will show up.
It will absolutely appear in those last words. There's just not enough consistent airflow to support a clean vibration. It's an immediate link.
So no air, the voice collapses. Makes sense.
Step three helps you isolate the pitch issue. Try raising your pitch just slightly. Read that same passage again, but consciously push your pitch up just a little bit.
Not squeaky. Just away from that 75 hertz floor. If the fry completely vanishes when you do that, you know the main issue is your habitual pitch control, not necessarily that you're exhausted.
And the final step, for the brave ones.
Yes. Ask someone else to listen. Because vocal fry is so common now, most people can hear it, even if they don't know the name for it. An unbiased listener can give you a really quick check on how often it's happening.
Okay, so once you've diagnosed it, the quick fixes become pretty obvious. Let's use those practical, everyday examples from the source. I think they really make it click.
They do. They show the difference between the faulty pattern and the clear, supported fix.
Let's start with the classic one, running out of breath. Right, so when you're running out of breath, it might sound something like this, imitating heavy fry and trailing off. I think we should meet later.
You can just hear it dragging and creaking.
Yeah.
Now, what's the version with better airflow?
With proper breath support, it becomes, I think we should meet later. It's a clean stop. It's supported all the way to the end, and it projects certainty.
Perfect. Okay, next example. Tackling that habit of speaking too low.
That often sounds like imitating deep, fry-laden voice. I'll send the report soon. The pitch is just unnaturally forced down into the bottom of the range.
And the fix is just that tiny adjustment, back up to your more natural, energized register.
Exactly. It should sound like, I'll send the report soon. You just keep the voice in that clear zone, and it immediately sounds more professional.
And the final one, the low energy tone, where the voice just doesn't have any core support.
That sounds like imitating a fatigued, cracking voice. Yeah, I can do that.
Right. Versus the supported, clear, and confident response.
Which is, yes, I can do that. The difference is instantaneous. It communicates competence and willingness right away. These examples show the underlying problem isn't complex, it's just habit and muscle memory.
Okay, now we're at the core of the solution, actionable habits.
Yeah.
We need those five simple tactical changes you can implement to maintain vocal clarity, even when you're under pressure.
Habit number one is the foundation for everything else. Use consistent, steady airflow. This is about managing that breath budget we talked about.
So what's the technique?
Before you speak, take a steady, quiet breath that fills your lower lungs. Then, as you speak, release that air evenly, like a constant stream. But the key tactical instruction here is to always stop speaking before you completely run out of breath.
Ah, leave a little in the tank.
Always leave a little reserve. That ensures the vocal cords never collapse into that unsupported fry zone.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, habit number two.
Identify and use your optimal pitch range. You're not trying to become an opera singer, but you have to avoid the very bottom of your range. A great little exercise is to just hum when you agree with someone.
Oh, that's clever.
That pitch is usually your natural, supported speaking pitch. It's just slightly higher than the fry zone. Mm. Practice speaking while trying to maintain that general pitch area.
And habit three addresses that foundational support, which I think is the most confusing part for people. Mm. Support your voice from your diaphragm.
It is so critical for sustained confidence. But you don't need years of training. The simple exercise is this. Place your hand flat on your stomach, right below your ribs. When you breathe in, feel your stomach gently expand outward.
Your shoulders rising.
Exactly. Your stomach goes out. Then when you speak, feel those stomach muscles stay firm and gently contract inward, like a subtle pressure gauge. This constant firm support is what prevents your voice from collapsing.
So it's an active support, not just deep breathing.
Absolutely. Okay, habit four is about your physical state. Avoid speaking when you're tired or dehydrated. This is so easy to overlook, but it's vital. Fatigue makes it impossible to maintain vocal tension.
And the dehydration.
Dehydration dries out your vocal fold tissue. The Journal of Voice actually found that good hydration significantly improved vocal fold elasticity. And elasticity means a smooth, clean vibration. If you have a critical meeting, rest and water are part of your prep.
Your body needs to be primed, not just your notes.
And finally, habit five. Pause instead of dragging your voice. We all do it. We try to stretch out the final word of a sentence like, I'm almost ready to buy time to think.
And that drag immediately invites fry.
Instantly. And it sounds tentative, so replace that dragging habit with a clean, confident pause. Stop the sentence, take a deliberate breath, and then start the next sentence clearly.
That not only gets rid of the fry, but also makes you sound more controlled and thoughtful.
100%.
That's a 5-point plan anyone can start using in their very next phone call. Let's wrap up with how we build these into better habits. Because clarity, it isn't built in a day.
No, improvement is all about consistency. You have to build new muscle memory, but the payoff is enormous. The 5-minute daily routine from the source is perfect for this.
Walk us through that routine one more time.
Okay, find a quiet space. First, take 3 deep, supported breaths, really focusing on that diaphragm expansion. Second, just hum gently for about 10 seconds to warm up the folds.
Okay.
Third, take any professional paragraph and read it out loud. Focus intensely on keeping that slightly higher supported pitch and managing your breath. Fourth, record and immediately replay it. You have to be your own judge.
That instant feedback loop is what forces change.
It is. And fifth, adjust based on what you just heard. If you heard fry creep in at the end of a phrase, go back, repeat that exact phrase, and focus entirely on your breath support and using a clean pause instead of a drag. 5 minutes. That's all it takes to build the habit.
So what does this all mean? What's the big takeaway for a listener who's focused on persuasive communication?
A clear, stable voice is one of the most powerful tools in your entire professional arsenal. Vocal fry is common, but it is not inevitable. You should only really focus on fixing it if it is actively blocking your goals of being clear and engaging.
So if you're getting feedback that you sound unconfident or if people are struggling to follow you, then this is worth the investment.
Absolutely. Investing in breath control and pitch support, in that case, will deliver huge returns in your perceived authority.
This has been a really practical look at a truly ubiquitous sound. We've established that vocal fry is a mechanical collapse caused by low airflow, fatigue, and low pitch. And most importantly, it's very correctable.
It is. And here's a final thought for you to consider, building on that idea of intentionality we touched on earlier.
Okay.
If some creators and cultural figures are using vocal fry as a calculated stylistic choice to seem casual or build intimacy with an audience, it raises a really essential question.
Which is,
when we communicate professionally, how much of our perceived lack of clarity is just a performance habit we need to break? And how much is a tool we could maybe master to strategically build trust or rapport without sacrificing authority?
That really separates the accidental confidence killer from the intentional stylistic choice. We encourage you to try that 5-minute routine today and continue your own deep dive into vocal clarity. We'll see you next time.